With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell now for the next couple of hours, 2.5 hours here on ESPN 97.5. Raheel will join us at 9 o'clock. Jim Crane, the owner of the Astros, is going to be in studio with us for an hour. So we'll talk a bunch of Astros baseball. Those of you that want to ask the owner anything, you're more than welcome. I don't know if it's possible to have any complaints. Are there any owners that you really don't have any complaints about, honestly? I mean, I guess with Les, you couldn't have any complaints with Les because he always had the checkbook open.
Yeah, no, look, Jim Crane didn't start off with no complaints.
No, but
he did not feel.
No, but he had a plan, stuck to the plan.
Right, right. Well, I mean, a big part of it was also the TV deal.
Well, a big part of it also was a depleted minor league system with nothing in it. He started basically with no players.
Yeah, but they delayed in bringing up good young players. That was one of the complaints of fans. They didn't go out and spend money in free agency. The fans were complaining. I'm not saying rightfully so, because to me, if you have a plan, you follow the plan. But I remember a lot of people when I was doing the show at the other station, they were not Crane fans because he wasn't spending money. He wasn't bringing up George Springer. This is in one particular time, especially. Yeah. And you couldn't even see the games. You know, and I was thinking, that's also a Drayton deal, though.
Because that wasn't on Crane.
No, but he still took the heat because he and the Rock, you know, because they, you know, that was Drayton took. Remember when Drayton took all the money for that deal and said, "We'll see you later. You guys do what you do, and I'm out of here."
Well, he had to give back like $70 million because of that television fiasco. Remember, Drayton had to give Crane back. I think it was about
how much did he give?
Yeah,
back?
Yeah, he gave back a boatload.
Damn near all of it.
No, he didn't give back near all of it. He made, and guess what? What is the valuation now of this team? You know, the thing about owning a team isn't day-to-day operations. You try to break even as much as possible. It's when you sell it. And, oh, by the way, all the business that you get from being the owner of the Houston Astros, and especially now with the positivity around the Houston Astros, when Jim Crane calls somebody now, a Houston Astros owner, they pick up the phone.
I had a similar conversation with Reed Ryan. Because I remember Reed Ryan's first day on the job, we had him on. Me and Charlie were doing the show. And we had him on. We were at the park. We do a show at the park once a week when they were home. And we had Reed Ryan on. And I mean, Reed was just trying to get anyone to pay attention. They weren't on TV. Mm-hmm. Everyone was pissed off.
Losing 100 games.
The team was terrible. Yeah. And he just was trying to do anything he could. Like, you ask the Astros to do anything. Oh, absolutely. Who do you want us to get on? You want Brandon? What was the
Backy?
No. The tattoo guy. He was sleeved up before there were all the sleeves. Brandon, the outfielder. Do you remember? I can't remember his name. But they would just ask, who do you want to get on? Do you want this guy? Like, nope, never heard of him. You want Matt Dominguez?
No.
Well, keep going. Do you want? I'm like trying to remember the names now. I can't even remember the names now. Do you want Dexter Fowler? I guess. Yeah, that's the biggest name on the team. Yeah, sure. Dexter Fowler sounds good. But just to come from where they came from, which was in 2013 to where they were this year. That's in a pretty short amount of time.
Well, I know, and that's what I'm saying. I'm talking about Crane now. In that you can't, and now obviously people had their complaints before, and people are going to have their complaints when your plan is let's lose 100 games a year and build up the minor league system and not give a damn. And, oh, by the way, nobody can see us. People are going to have plenty of complaints, but I don't know how anyone can have any complaints about this team this year.
No.
Thinking about and we'll ask him, 81 games, right, home games, you average to get, okay, you got to average 30,000 to get 2.4 million. Under, over 2.4 million next year at attendance. Average 30,000 a game.
Mm-hmm.
In a 42,000 seat stadium. Under, over.
I'm going to say over.
I'm going to say over, too.
It's tickets sold, too.
And this is, now, there were plenty of games last year, and I saw Reed all the time. Reed comes up and hangs out a little bit during some of the games, and it's, you know, we sit and we're able to talk to him, and I saw him plenty, and I was like, Reed, are you a little pissed off, man? Look how good this team is, and, you know, look at tonight, you know, in the middle of the week, it's like, you know, 20,000 maybe, or sometimes even less, and I'm going, you know, this is crap, and he's like, we were in such a bad place for so long, the fans will come, they'll be here, they'll get here when they get here, mm-hmm. So we're not gonna be pissed off, we're not gonna, you know, criticize fans, we're not gonna do any of that stuff. And they'll get here when they want to get here, and sure, and this should be the year. This should be the year that, I mean, with the Texans 4-12, you know, the Rockets are a good basketball team, but, you know, and the people go out to Rockets games. The fact, you know, we see the beginning of the games where the stands are empty. It fills up. I mean, it's not packed every night, but they do nice. They do a nice job with attendance. They got star power, obviously, and people are liking this basketball team. So that's fine. But the Astros, this has to pick up drastically this year. This is a baseball. This should be a baseball town again now. Remember back in the aughts, in the 2004, 2005, mm-hmm. People were excited about. They should be really. This is a bunch of good guys. It's great baseball. They've done everything. They spent money. They went out and got Verlander. They went out and got Gerrit Cole. You know, we're worried about what's going to happen with Keuchel and Correa and Springer and all, and Altuve and all those
just
guys.
Just relax and enjoy it.
Just enjoy it.
You don't have to worry about it this year. There's no pending doom. Impending doom on it. Yeah, you're fine. Let it play out. Because I know this much. This team is the, you know, clearly the best team we've ever followed in the city of Houston, but it's also an eminently likable team, too. And that stuff can change. So as guys get egos, as guys start to, you know, as people have, you never know what could happen. I'd love to say that last year, the vibe in the clubhouse over the last 3 years is exactly what it will always be. But you just never know because, you know, guys' brands start getting by. You have guys who get big heads. We saw Lima, who was our buddy, you know, kind of got a big head and got a certain mm-hmm. amount of attention and stuff. It happens. It's natural.
We got 21 million.
So, you know, you never know if Carlos Correa is going to go Hollywood or if this happened or that, or two guys are going to stop being buddy-buddy because one gets jealous of the money that another guy's making. That's the dynamics. So enjoy it while you have it because this is something special.
Well, it's a bunch of what appear to be a bunch of good guys. Until proven differently, it's a bunch of guys that care, that hustle, that apparently like each other, that are having fun, that it's an exciting brand of baseball, all of these things that we got. You said something, and we talked about this before. I wonder how you rank it. In the city of Houston ever, best teams, rank them.
That's a good one. Feels like a sports map article.
Did I take your idea for next week's sports?
No, you sounds like you've got one.
I got no. Yeah,
I would say for baseball, you got
no. All teams.
No,
all
I know,
sports.
But I'm qualifying. Okay. I would say you get 86 Astros, 98 Astros. And even though they came up short, you know, they choked. 86 Astros, 98 Astros, and 2017 Astros. You start with those three for the Astros.
Right.
For the Rockets.
Well, you don't put 05 in there? With Clemens and Pettit and Oswalt?
I thought 98 was way better. I mean, that was
yeah,
a
98
good
was bad.
The hitters sucked ass in 2005.
That's an ugly thing to say with the kids going to school. Oh,
we're powered down. You're good.
Well, no. People can hear us.
Tennis freeze.
No, you can hear us on Kirby at Richmond.
No, I wasn't a fan of the 05 team. I thought, frankly, 04 might have been better with Carlos Beltran. But because you had the two guys too, but 05 just didn't have any hitting. I just thought you tried to, you just pitched your way in. But as a team, you had pitching on that 98
team. Oh, 98
team. You had pitching on 86.
Yeah, absolutely.
Basketball, both Rockets championships, and then probably the 86 Rockets are really
86
talented.
86 Rockets, yeah.
They're really talented. And then football-wise.
93 Oilers.
93 Oilers, I would say. 92 Oilers might have been better than 93 Oilers.
I don't know.
They're the ones that choked to
the
Denver Broncos.
I know they win 11 in a row. The 93 won 11 in a row.
They won. I think there was more talent because they didn't get the Plan B. What they had, you know, it used to be called Plan B, where you would lose some of your free agents. They started having those taken. 91, 92, and 93. Those Oilers teams were all really good.
Yeah. I like the 93 team best.
And I thought the 2011 Texans, not the 12, I thought the 11 Texans with Arian and those guys, and then they got,
when Shabby got hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He got hurt.
That's that team.
The next year he turned into pick six.
I thought that team could have, he must have got hurt 12 because.
No, he got hurt 11.
13 is when he became pick six Shabby.
And he ended 12 and into 13.
Oh, 12 is when he was screaming for his life because Patriots were chasing him.
Right.
So the 11 season, that was a team that could have gone to the Super Bowl. Legit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they dominated the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens, is that the year the Ravens won it or no?
They won in 10.
With Flacco?
Yeah.
No. When they beat the, not 1-10, when they beat the 49ers.
Yeah, that was 10, wasn't it?
No. It was.
Oh, no. 12. It was 12.
Yeah, the 12, 12 Super Bowl, yeah. 11. That Texans team had them dead to rights. Jacoby fumbled a punt early. Right. Remember that? He had three interceptions from T.J. Yates. That team was really good. They were really good defensively, and they could run the ball down your throat, which they did to the Ravens. They were controlling the Ravens. They had that.
I'm hesitant to say that any Texans team was the best in football. If you want to know the truth,
that was a really good team, though.
Yeah,
that was better than 12. I thought 12 was Wade's defense in 11.
12 was 11. They were 11-1.
Yeah, that's great. Wade's defense wasn't as good. Brooks Reed wasn't as good. Connor Barwin wasn't as good. That defense in 11, they were like a swarm all the time, all over everybody. It's just JJ was a rookie. 12, JJ was, you know, defensive player of the year. But that was a really good pass rush unit. And you had young J.J.O., younger Danielle Manning. Arian was gashing everybody. Eric Winston was on that team. Mike Brazel was on that team. Chris Myers. You had the offensive line, young Dwayne Brown. That was a dominant offensive line, a really good offensive line. That was a really good team. And Matt Schaub, before he freaked out, was doing pretty well, yeah. Got hurt, and then T.J. Yates threw three interceptions, including one that could have won the game. Even with T.J. Yates playing terrible, they were trying to go in and win, and then Ed Reed went and snagged it, and Bob McNair and Bates said, mental note, grab him in 4 years.
Give him $15 million.
Pay him whatever he wants. Let other younger and players
let Clover
go.
Quinn go. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. That was one of my – I wrote a piece for Sports Map about the ones that got away. I forgot about Eric Winston. I didn't put Eric Winston in there. But all the Texans and where they went and how they've done since they left the Texans because of Case's success, I thought, let's take a look at all the former Texans and where they've gone and how they've done. And I forgot Eric Winston in that one because he's done okay. He would have been a guy who's helped his teams win since he left. But the four best that have done the best since they left the Houston Texans are Tremont Williams, mm-hmm. A.J. Bouye, Brandon Brooks, and Glover Quinn.
Brandon Brooks a Pro Bowler this year.
Yeah, Brandon Brooks a good player.
You know what? DeMeco had some good football skill.
And he helped his team win, but he had 2 years, two good years in Philadelphia, and then the last two were injury. He had two decent. He had one really good year, 102 tackles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember him being a big team leader for them.
Yeah.
And that was something that the Texans had.
But the Achilles killed him. The Achilles killed him there, mm-hmm. too. It killed him in both places. All right, 713 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. We'll get to this Rockets story. There is so much going on with this tunnel gate, and we have to get to it. It's such an important story. In the NBA right now.
Well, I mean, a lot of people are paying attention to it. Yeah, that's for sure.
Boy, is it, this? I'm on Sports Map. Does anyone hate Case Keenum more than AJ Hoffman? Does anyone hate Case Keenum more than AJ?
AJ just can't get off of it. He can't just say, you know what, good job, Case.
No, he can't. He can't possibly admit that Case was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL this year.
There was an article that said Case Keenum doesn't deserve also ran status. Right. They ran yesterday, and I got to go see the website, and it's true. Like, it's one thing not to think Case is a great quarterback or even that good a quarterback. He's just having a year. That's fine if that's your opinion. It's another just to drop turds on him every chance you get. Like, what's he doing? He's just sitting there.
He was one of the best. This is not even arguable. He was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL this year.
I don't know if you know this, but one, A.J. Hoffman doesn't like being wrong, even temporarily. And the fact that people here in this town like Case, I'm sure he's gotten many arguments with people on Twitter about Case Keenum. And now that Case Keenum is allegedly validating those people's opinions, can't be sitting well.
But you don't have to like Case. You just have to look at it with your human eyes objectively and say, dude played well.
It can't be sitting well. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, uh-huh. If you're objective.
No,
about
I heard
it.
Him yesterday. They were talking about, Alex Smith or Case Keenum. I'd take Alex Smith all day. I was like, well, okay, but you know.
I would too, but only for historical reasons, like not really who's playing best now.
No.
Playing best now is Case Keenum. Although you could look at Alex.
And oh, by the way, he got his team further than Smith has.
That's why all those stats sometimes, it can be a little tricky because Alex Smith's stats are way better than his play indicated this year. When I went through his stats and mentioned them on there, you and I were both surprised, like, what? I don't know.
Well, they went through
a
five-game losing streak, right? Well, you'd think that a quarterback that was one of the best in the league or playing that well would have been able to pull his team out for maybe one game?
Yeah. I mean, there's effective. Yeah. Well, we'll get into it in a second. I want to tell you about a game going on tonight. Your Houston Rockets are taking on the T-Wolves. T-Wolves, young, talented team. A lot of talent coming in to town. Jimmy Butler, Carl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins. And you can get your tickets because it's Rockets Guys Night Out. Grab your buddies and say, hey, you know what? This is a rumor I heard that Trolley is going to present this, which is actually true. Trolley is going to present it. And the first 15,000 fans in attendance are going to get a James Harden cheer puppet. Why would you not want a cheer puppet presented once again by Trolley? But here's what you're going to get. You and your buddies go out. So get you and three other buddies. You get four of them. In these packages, you get two tickets, two hot dogs, two beers, sodas, or waters, and packages start as low as $50. Well, get your buddies, gather up, go get them, you know, in groups of two, and go out together and have fun. Budweiser Liftoff Party starts at 6:30 featuring Houston-based vinyl enthusiast DJs, The Waxaholics. Doors are going to open at 7 o'clock, and this is a nationally televised game. For information or to get your tickets, you can do two things. Call 713-627-DUNK. Or go to Rockets.com and get your tickets today for Rockets Guys Night Out presented by Trolley.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. 720 ESPN 97.5. John and Lance along with Dell. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Yeah. That's a long story. But Dwight had to shoot free throws. Scotty Brooks picked Dwight off the bench. Who was it that got thrown out, Dale?
Michael Carter Williams and another player.
Scrapping.
Him and the Wizards. So I guess he got fouled beforehand, so he had to shoot free throws. And in a blowout, Dwight is done for the night. They're down by the Bullets, or the Wizards are down by 20. Scott Brooks is like, hey, you, I know we're getting blown out, but I really don't need you guys adding an extra couple points. So he pulled Dwight off the bench, and Dwight's like, what the hell, man? I'm just sitting here. The game's over. So Dwight goes up, makes both, blows a kiss at Scott Brooks afterwards, and as he's walking towards the bench, he does the Sam Cassell's big balls dance back and forth. So Dwight was having fun last night.
Oh, well, yeah, they won by.
They won by a lot.
They won by a bunch. I tell you what, is there a problem in the NBA right now? I mean, no. Before the game is even starting.
It's fun. No, that was at the end.
That's at the end of the game.
Courtney Lee.
Yeah,
Dylan
Courtney
Brooks.
Lee is, they're lining up for a jump ball. Yeah. Courtney Lee gets
tossed. It's salty in the league. It's been salty the last 2 days, I'll tell you that much.
I like it. Some people are attributing to the season's actually longer, even though they're playing less games in the amount of time, but the season started earlier, so they think guys are more chippy, but I don't mind it. Yeah, it's good for
chippy.
The NBA.
No,
it's
entertaining. They started like a week earlier, so it's chippy because
allegedly,
of that?
They're saying because there's more time. I don't know what the reasoning was. They just said it's dumb. But
no,
they said,
like there's never been fights in the NBA.
Well, they have.
No, they used to like really fight.
Real fights.
But you know, the NBA gets the rap for being, these guys are all buddies. There's no real competition. No one really cares that much about after the game. They're all eating dinner together. So I think people, I like what's going on right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's of all the sport now, obviously football, but you got pads on and there's a lot of stuff going on. And baseball when you're throwing at guys' heads. But the physicality in the NBA underneath the basket and up and down the court for 48 minutes, you're going to get frustrated with guys. And this is going to happen. And it's a good thing, I think.
It's competitive.
And I think it's a good thing.
It's competitive nature, yeah. Like Dell said.
If they were all buddy-buddy and, that's okay. You know what? Back in the day, Lambeer and those guys, they used to fight now. And they got really, really chippy, and the league was so competitive, and everybody wanted to kill each other. You know, it's not a bad thing that these guys, they better be physical. They better be going at it under the boards. They better want it that bad. So, I mean, it's not a bad thing that they're getting this chippy right now. But all of the, oh, my God, the holier than thou are all like, oh, no, we can't have this fighting. Who cares? Let them fight each other. Who cares?
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yep.
And get thrown out, and like the Rockets got tossed for two games each. Gerald Green and Trevor Ariza both going to sit two games because of their part in Tunnelgate, where they went and tunneled and got axes and spoons and were able to underground tunnel into the Clippers locker room and then were able to nothing happened. But because Chris Paul and James Harden, by all accounts, were peacemakers, they're not suspended.
Yeah, when I think peacemaker, I think Harden. He seems like a guy who wouldn't escalate a situation at all.
Well, why was he there if he wasn't escalating a situation?
He was trying to calm everybody down.
Oh, was he?
Yes.
They said he strolled up after everybody else got there. I could see that,
of course,
too.
He did. Hey, guys, let's not do this.
Yeah. And apparently Chris Paul, who was behind it. Look, if you take a left, take a right, take a left, take a right. And then you go and we'll have Capella in the front pounding on the door.
James doesn't get in trouble for anything, does he? You notice that?
No.
James, you're accused of masterminding the beating of one Moses Malone Jr. at a vintage steakhouse at 3 a.m. when there was heavily marbled ribeyes in the place. Or ham hocks.
Heavily. Heavily marbled.
And he's like, one me? He just went straight Eddie Murphy style. One me?
Nah, man, I was down the street.
Dude gets 30 years, James. What me?
James like, what me? James, you are accused. You stand accused of digging the tunnel through the prison doors and then covering the hole up with some Marilyn Monroe poster or whatever her name was.
Was it Raquel Welch?
Rita Hayworth.
And he's like,
what me?
You must be talking about Andy Dufresne, Trevor Ariza.
Basket lit.
At some point, he went to Trevor Ariza, and Trevor's like, "Man, I hate Austin River." He goes, "Get busy living, I get busy dying." And he hit him with a little Morgan Freeman.
Yep.
And he said, "What'd you say? Just call me Red." But you're James Harden.
You don't have red hair.
I tell you this for a long time. I've wanted to go over there and beat that boy down. Who? Austin Rivers. He deserves a beating. Well, should I give him one? You should absolutely. I know a tunnel. You can go and give him a good beating. Well, I guess I'll do that, Red. I mean, James.
You James, think James was masterminding?
He was he's the Trevor Whisperer. He is Whispered Trevor, and he comes up late and goes, "Hey, what's the deal, guys?"
If I'm Trevor, I'm like, wait a minute. The last guy you did that with got 30 years.
And put it on a cell phone. I'd like to see this.
He goes, "Hey, James, I know the last guy. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing this.
Okay. Now it's 30 years and two games.
No, If it was
four games, actually,
if it was comparable, Trevor Ariza would have got kicked out of the league.
And James is shopping.
Well, yeah, but hey, but James is now responsible for 30 years and four games.
Not allegedly.
Two for Trevor and two for Gerald.
Allegedly,
I don't think he masterminded that. I just wanted to do the.
Well, he might have
the Morgan Freeman voice to. Yeah, Trevor Whisper.
Yep. All right. Let's catch up on breaks and get to let's play some poker.
Oh man. So Prime Social, which is on Westheimer, it's between it used to be a churrascaria. The building is beautiful. It's right. It's literally I can walk to this place, and I will be walking to this place quite a bit. They are going to have the very best game, and it's on Westheimer between Dunvale and Hillcroft Voss area. You know that street where Hillcroft turns into Voss. And you got to get over there because they've got all the gaming you can want. And you say, do you have any chess matches going on, sir? And I say, yes, in a high-scale environment. What about backgammon? Yes. Right now, some of you are going, yawn. And I say, oh, yeah. Oh, and 20 poker tables, too. Wait, what? Yeah, 20 poker tables, including a high-stakes room that is glassed off. And if you're a high roller, you've got your own little spot. They've got a full-service bar and restaurant where you can go get your drinks and your food. The menu looks awesome. Brought a chef in, a local chef who's been at a lot of different restaurants here with nice selection, including nice Asian fusion part of it as well. So, of course, I wanted to take a look at the menu. But 20 poker tables, you've got 29 big screen televisions, and it is a really high-end establishment as well. Safe, relaxing, and you got a chance to go get your poker games on over at Prime Social. Make sure you meet me there sometime, and let's go heads up on a couple of pots. What do you say? Prime Social Club, right off Westheimer, between Dunvale and Hillcroft. You can't miss it. Opening very, very soon. It'll be the finest establishment in the city of Houston. Do not miss out.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Bill O'Brien's a great person, first and foremost. From a character standpoint, you know, Bill is a great individual. But philosophical alignment in terms of how to build a winning football operation, a winning roster, and build a championship environment and culture as well. What you see on Sundays, obviously, is the result of player acquisition and coaching, but there's a process that's involved in terms of getting to Sunday. And Bill and I are very philosophically aligned in terms of how to do that, how to build the right program, how to build the right culture. And it's not just the football roster, but it's also the football operation. And that requires every aspect that touches the game and touches the locker room, all those aspects of the football operation. Bill and I are philosophically aligned in terms of how to run it and how to do it.
Aligned. Twice he said aligned. Three times? Three alignments. What? That's what Bill O'Brien said. I mean, do you want to talk about? And I you must say you are aligned.
But you know what, though?
And we are aligned.
This is important. You do want these guys aligned. You don't want them... Rick Smith and Bill O'Brien relationship. I'm tired. Are we finally over having these fake conversations in media circles about how everything was fine? That's overblown. That's,
no.
We got a great professional relationship. None of that was true.
None
it was
of it.
Never was any of it true. Wasn't true.
Bill O'Brien. But I'm not opposed to, and again, we got a groupthink situation maybe developing here because they're all, oh, yeah, coach, I agree with you. Yeah. That's right, coach.
Don't want that.
You never want that. But how about, you know what? No. That guy's going to suck. No, we're not taking that guy.
But you know what you really don't want? Two guys who don't like each other, who aren't working towards the same goal, and one guy who sits up in a press box next to the owner going,
I know.
You don't want that.
Warm tongue?
Ever. Yeah, you don't want Lord Baelish up there in the
no.
You know. Well, it's easy to see that we've got quite a roster here, and I don't understand why we're not able to win more. And
right.
Like, Bob McNair is just too easy to, you know. Littlefinger was just tricking Bob for years. So No, I think it's Brian Gain in league circles is very well respected. He's quiet, but he's a Bill Parcells guy. Not Bill, he's not Bill O'Brien. He and Bill O'Brien think the same because they're football guys. They're both, you know, all ball all the time. But he came from the Bill.
Well, if you're from a Parcells tree, you're from the Belichick tree. I mean, it's all intertwined.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. Yeah, conceptually, yes. What you do. Although Belichick has kind of created his own thing, but Brian Gain has a way. That he will have a way that he goes about things. That's kind of the Parcells way. I can tell you this: the Parcells way is big, fast, and strong, and that's something the Texans haven't really always. Now you can say, well, what about Clowney? That's a first pick. That's a freak daddy. And J.J. Watt was a good pick, but I'm talking about across the board. I would guess they're gonna look for traits, length, speed. They're gonna start getting faster. That's not a real fast team.
No, nothing that they've done. When I went over all of the former Texans leaving, you know, and the one guy I brought out was, it's not like Atlanta who gave up Brett Favre to the Packers. I mean, that's something that Atlanta will always rue. They'll rue the day that they gave up Brett Favre, a Hall of Famer, when they could have used a quarterback for all those years. The Texans don't have any of that. But one of the reasons the biggest reason that the Texans don't have any of that, one guy that they really regret, I would imagine they regret letting Glover Quinn go and getting Ed Reed. I would imagine that they regret now Brandon Brooks is gone when they have Xavier Suofilo. I would imagine AJ Bouye. Boy, that sucks. Wish we could have him since we don't have any. Well, every cornerback is old. But they don't have any Brett Favre. You know why they don't have any Brett Favre? Because they've sucked so bad in the draft. They haven't had any good players to let go. With the players that they have had, they've re-signed. They kept JJ here. Brian Cushing, whatever. They should have gotten rid of him just like they did. D'Amico Ryan, 6 years in, they said that was the one decent decision. You know, D'Amico had a couple of good years in Philadelphia, but that's the way you should do things. 6 years, he had an Achilles here. He's probably going to decline. Let's get rid of him now.
Here's why I disagree. At that time, they needed – I understand the fear, but they really – they missed him in 12? Or was it after 12? But they missed his leadership. That was something that really, and he did have a couple of years after that where he could.
They got rid of him when he still had some value, as opposed to what they always do. Brian Cushing now, what could you possibly get for nothing? Zero.
No, but you don't. But
what does Bill Belichick do? He gets rid of guys when they have value.
Yeah, but most guys don't get rid of guys for this in baseball. Like most guys just get cut. Contractually, they don't get traded.
Yeah, even still, though, they, you know, Bill Belichick says, oh, well, we've had enough. You know what? We're going to move on.
See, I thought moving, they couldn't do anything about it, but I thought moving Winston and D'Amico really killed this team when they did, because they had a 2-year run and they lost leadership along the offensive line and critical leadership on defense and a player. And they were gutted at linebacker next to Cushing. And then he was hurt anyway. And they were kind of gutted at right tackle. But they couldn't do anything about it because, remember, they were in financial trouble. They had to pay Arian Foster. That's why
That's right.
Yeah, because they had to pay Arian Foster.
Well, would you rather have D'Amico or Arian Foster?
But I was told they didn't have to pay Arian Foster. They should have let the market set itself. And they went out there and they paid him preemptively instead of putting a transition tag on him, which... That's how NFL teams do stuff. They say, we'll let the market set itself with this, and if it's too much, we will let him go, and we'll pick up these draft picks. Now, me, I'm sitting there thinking, what? I mean, he's an undrafted free agent. This guy's been his way outplayed his contract for 3 straight years. Do the right thing and take care of him. And Rick Smith, and I do think I was right in that one, because Rick Smith had a bad relationship. There were guys in that locker room.
Daniels. Dante Robinson.
Andre Johnson. Mm-hmm. There are guys in there who thought he was not a friend of theirs by any stretch of the imagination.
No. Pay me, Rick.
He needed something to show the players that he would take care of them. And I thought that was what the Arian Foster move was. But they just got into a situation. And I don't think it was really even Chris Olsen, the cap guy, or anyone else's fault. They just happened to get guys who played better than expected, and they all came due at the same time.
The thing I'm saying about D'Amico is, it's more of an overall theory as opposed to, now, the Brian Cushing thing to me has been a killer for you. Don't keep putting a guy on the field that is going to hurt you, and you're paying him. Just because you like him, just because he's a face, just because he's a white guy, just because all of these things don't keep a guy.
Don't keep paying him.
Dell doesn't disagree with that.
Is Brian Cushing staying on the team because he's a white guy?
He's a white guy.
The trustee is staying because the warden likes him.
How about because he flows to the ball with great
instincts? How about because he's out 10 games a year because of Peds?
Covered talent.
Or injured.
Covered talent.
Look, if you're the warden, you always need a guy.
Does he, Lance?
You always need a guy inside the locker room who you can go to and say, what's going on? Brian Cushing.
Now, his trustee. The last thing you want to do is call Brian Cushing a locker room snitch.
I didn't say snitch. I called him a trustee. That's what we call him.
Trustee. Do you think that they're going to throw a toaster in the whirlpool while he's sitting in there, while he's icing down?
No. But being a good trustee means they really don't know you're a trustee.
Oh, that's true. Now, listen. I don't mind the ad. A lot of people are asking, do you trade JJ? There's no chance that they would ever trade JJ, ever. He's the $37 million man. He is the face of the franchise. He's the best human being
but
in the world.
But following what you're talking about, they should consider that.
They should consider it.
Yeah.
They absolutely should consider trading JJ. Would they?
You will.
And oh, by the way, you don't know that.
People would legitimately hate Bob McNair.
Well, it's tough. This is a business. This is what we're doing. We're trying to win football games.
But if you don't
win football
games,
is JJ affecting winning for this organization?
Playing.
That's right.
He's not playing football.
That's a problem.
But the problem
is, he's a $100 million guy.
You know this too. If you trade him, he plays well, and you aren't good. But you know what?
It's a business, and you take chances.
Giving Bill O'Brien this contract extension. In essence, you have said, we are going to give you a really long leash because, you know what I've noticed? People on Twitter aren't very smart about some things. I know this is a...
What?
But people who think that this contract's not guaranteed, that they if the Texans aren't good next year, they'll cut ties with Bill O'Brien.
No, not anymore.
Do you guys really don't understand how this works? Fully guaranteed. The contracts are fully guaranteed. You think Bob McNair's eating? He goes, oh, NFL teams make so much money, he'd eat $20 million. No, he won't. No owner in the league is going to eat $20 million of real money. No, they won't. Because on top of that $20 million or whatever's left on a contract, they then have to pay the rest of the salaries of the staff, then the new head coach's salary, and the new head coach's staff. So it really gets to about a $40 million hit. No. That's not, they make a bunch of money, they're fine. No.
No.
That's not how it works.
When was the last time you saw a millionaire throw out $40 million?
One guy goes, you already know.
A billionaire.
Lance, you already know. This is a smart move because he's not even going to see the end of his contract anyway. Like, what? They'll mutually part ways. I said, no. Nobody mutually parts ways. It's very rare. The only way you mutually part ways is if you have another deal set up with another team and you're not going to lose any money. No, this is, you know, these aren't NFL player contracts, right? Where like the last 2 years aren't even guaranteed because it's a cap. Like, no, with coaches, all of it's guaranteed. And stop telling me, no, this is not something where it's backloaded at the end, a $17 million cap hit. None of the coaches' salaries are cap hits.
No.
They're all fully guaranteed
money.
Who's
this cap hit?
This one guy's like, you know that no one sees the end of these contracts? Like,
coaches? They'll fire him with a year left.
Yeah. And then you have to pay him.
And then you got to pay him.
Unless he goes to another team, and then the Texans are still responsible for that amount of money, or the difference.
No. I mean, what?
Here's how it works. If Bill O'Brien
is here for the next 4 years.
At least 3 years.
Yeah, at least three.
At least 3 years.
And so he's got, now Rick left him without any first or second rounder.
I want him, but see, we joke about stuff, but I do want him and Brian Gain on the same page for the next 3 years.
I do too, but I also don't want it to be, yeah, coach, you're right. Yeah, that's
agree.
A great, you know what? Yeah, as soon as Bill O'Brien's, yeah, that's great. No. You've got to have guys who – there's got to be some – Brian Gain has to have the ability to say, I don't agree with you. He has to have that ability because if he doesn't, then it's going to be a groupthink situation. And you know what? You get into – and I think that's what the Rockets got into with Rudy T. After the championship years, they just started going – they all started talking the same. They all started, and honestly, their cadence, Jim Boylan, he almost sounded like you were talking to Rudy with their cadence that they talked in because they were all together on this deal, and they started looking at guys, and they started bringing in players that they all, yeah, that guy, coach, that's a great, no, he's terrible. Stop doing that. No, $17 million for Matt Maloney, one-year contracts. That's a great – no, it's not a great idea.
Well, they did weird things. Like Robert Barr was the one who came up with that concept and idea. He was the strength coach.
Yeah, right. No, he became a vice president.
He was responsible for the Matt Maloney contract.
Well, he also did other stuff for the guys. He also did a lot of stuff. 744 ESPN 97.5. Let's bring in John Clay Wolf. We're talking about GiveMeTheVin.com. GiveMeTheVin.com. John Clay, you can hear him on Saturday mornings right here on ESPN 97.5, 9 to noon. And he's with us this morning. What's up, John Clay?
Good morning, everybody.
How you doing, man? We selling any cars? We buying any cars?
We had a big day yesterday. We bought about 40. And yesterday's our sale day where we sell at the Dallas Auto Auction. And had some cool ones. Had a 2016 Lamborghini Gallardo, and it brought $330,000.
What?
It lost $5,000, but so we gave the customer $335. I sold it for $330 yesterday.
They came in
to give me the VIN, and I also had a, we made it back up on a '93 Cobra, so that. Grandma buys this car new in 93, and she passed away a year ago. It had 19,000 miles on it.
Wow.
Her son sold it to us. He actually went to give me the VIN about a month ago, and we wrote back, please email or text us some pictures, and he never contacted us back. And then about 10 days ago, we get a package in the mail, you know, made out to me, and it has photos in it, you know, like photo mat photos. He's got a flip phone, so he didn't know how to send them. So he emails us a package with pictures of his grandma in this car, and I see this thing, and I call my guys, like, get this damn thing bought right now.
Awesome.
Find this guy, and we bought it immediately.
There's story. There's story after story after story, and you got a story with your car at GiveMeTheVIN.com. Send it to John Clay Wolf, and he will, and within a minute, you can get a quote, right?
We buy all the cool stuff, all the normal stuff, and all the in-betweeners. If you've got a 93 Cobra, I damn sure want it, because we made $5,000 on that thing yesterday.
GiveMeTheVIN.com. GiveMeTheVIN.com. John Clay Wolf with us every morning right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I was just tremendously excited. I was out with some friends having a good time for my wife's birthday weekend. And so it was a really good phone call. How do you ask for anything more than to be coming to the world champions? So, I mean, I think it boils down to command. I think it boils down to executing pitches. There are a lot of contributing factors. But you know, I'm just going to trust what I do, continue to use the resources around me, try to soak up as much as I can from some of the veterans on this team and some of the really good players. I'm looking forward to working with Brian McCann, and I'm looking forward to, a new approach. I know there are some things that the Astros do that are different, so I'm looking forward to hearing those things and hopefully trying to get a lot better.
That is Gerrit Cole, yesterday's press conference, and he is... We'll figure out. We'll find out where he is in the rotation and what a rotation it is. The owner of the Houston Astros, Jim Crane, is joining us this morning here on ESPN 97.5. I knew you'd be a little bit early, so we appreciate you getting here. We're going to talk with him. If you've got any questions, you can either tweet us at John Granato, at Lance Zierlein, or you can call 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Talking Astros baseball now for the next hour here on ESPN 97.5. Look at that. That's a good intern right there, isn't it? He brought Mr. Crane his coffee. Get it going on. And welcome to the show. We appreciate you being here.
Good morning. Nice to be here. A little cold.
Yeah, it's too cold to play baseball now, but going down to Florida in less than a month now, this has been your shortest offseason, which is nice.
Well, it was a great run. Very proud of the guys and, happy for the city to get the first World Series. So I think that a lot of the guys are getting there early. They're back working out, and I've been told there's seven or eight guys already down there working out.
I can tell you, it's always nice. One of the things that really draws us to sports is it's one thing to see great players, but great players who play great in the biggest settings and scenarios is what makes sports special. When you see guys who do things that are just special, and we were able to witness a variety of players do that. George Springer in clutch situations. George Springer and Jose Altuve and Marwin Gonzalez. And there's, the list goes, Lance McCullers.
Correa.
Charlie Morton, Carlos Correa. All these guys stepping up in a variety of manners, which is going to make this, for most people, it's going to be the most incredible time in sports history, the Houston Astros run, when you look at, because all those series were unique, the Red Sox series with Altuve and then the Yankee series coming back, and of course the craziness of the Dodgers series. How did you take that in as an owner? Because you didn't seem to, it had to be tearing you up inside like the rest of us, but you look pretty cool, calm, and collected back behind the plate.
Well, it was a great run. I mean, all those series were fun to watch. I mean, great baseball. The guys kept coming through over and over and over again. Listen, I was there just like another fan. There's, once a game starts, there's really nothing you can do. AJ's managing the game, and you're one of the other spectators. But it was fun to watch. I remember the game five. I was sitting back behind Hope, and don't often like to sit there too much because you're right there, and you're on TV every pitch. And so I'd leave when they scored, Dodgers would score a bunch of runs, and I'd come back when we scored. So I got a routine going, and we finally got it done. But what a game, So it's fun to watch. You're a fan, and, when the game goes off, you just will hope for the best.
But honestly, because I talked to AJ about this, and I said, you looked so cool and calm and collected, like Lance said. What was going through your mind and your gut? I mean, was it? You certainly showed better than you must have felt.
Well, listen, the guys were so resilient. I remember watching a game in Boston when Bregman hit the home run to tie the game up or go ahead. I forget which was, but he went into that dugout because I was happened to be lucky enough to sit down low there, and I could look into the dugout from the stands, and he was so fired up. He just got the rest of the guys going. I mean, they never really gave up, and they never felt like they were beat, and that's a champion. That's how it works.
Yeah. I couldn't – one of the things that Lance said there was the clutch, and it seemed like – and it was so amazing – it didn't matter if it was Chris Sale or Kimbrel or Chapman or CC or all the Dodgers. I mean, it was unbelievable. Kenley Jansen. It didn't matter who was pitching. And that's something that we haven't seen here in how long, is that guys, we don't care who it is. We're going to hit you.
Yeah. No, it was fun to watch because they went through probably three of the best closers in baseball, with Boston's Claude Kimbrel, you mentioned, and then the big left-hander in New York, and then, the Dodgers closers. Those guys really hadn't been touched all year, and they got to the Boston closer a couple times. They got to New York closer a couple times and Jansen a couple times. And so to get through those guys and hit them and win the games late like that was pretty incredible.
I'd say it was truly incredible, and I know it was Jansen
got to all three of them.
Jansen and Kimbrel. Who was it? It was Kimbrel, and they also touched up Chris Sale. We didn't even mention that. Yeah, Sale, Kimbrel, Chapman, and Jansen, and really all the Dodgers bullpen, because they had been really good, and all the Yankees bullpen, because these guys had been great up to this point. So it's just, frankly, it's anti-Astros, because we've seen some great Astros teams in the past who fell short in clutch situations. So to see this Astros team go start to finish like that is something that will mean a lot.
And oh, by the way, Kershaw too. I mean,
yeah, Sale, Kershaw, Jansen.
You know, right, whatever.
I mean, one of the great clutch performances of all time has to be this Houston Astros World Series win against that many big time. Yeah. Home runs.
And you don't know when you're looking at guys if they've got that in them, though, right? I mean, when Jeff Luhnow is picking guys and, you know, this, we want this guy for the team, we want that guy for the team, one thing that you can't measure is if he's going to have the guts to, or another way to put it, if he's going to have the guts in and have the poise in clutch time.
Yeah, I think, you know, you've seen, you know, Bregman, I always use Bregman's example. He's the youngest of the group, and he thrives on those situations. So I think it, you know, it kind of feeds off each other. The guys get push each other. I mean, Altuve, you know, as quiet as he is at times, he just kept pushing those guys. Marwin told me, he said, listen, I wouldn't have this great a year. He said, Altuve was on me early. He said, you can get better. You can get better. You can get better. And I think, you know, they all started feeding off of that. And sure enough, you know, all of our guys had great years.
Yeah. You know, while Beltran didn't have a great year, and, you know, he had to sit because of how he was hitting and all that stuff, I think he's going to be sorely missed. And remember that when after he was signed, and Altuve and who was it, Correa, and somebody else went out to dinner with him, and Beltran said that they were grilling me on how they could possibly get better. And that leadership, while he wasn't great on the field, I think that certainly helped in the locker room, don't you?
Oh yeah, I mean he's a very poised guy and a really nice guy, and I had a chance to visit with him numerous times on the Puerto Rican issue, and he's just as genuine as they get, and so, you know, they really you know, fed off of him, and you know he was always there to talk to him and console him, and you know, he had some big hits throughout the year though. He had a big hit in Boston that helped us win a game. I mean he didn't have a great season, but you know, I think more than anything, he helped the rest of the guys stabilize the other guys when they had a tough time. He'd sit down and talk to them, and he was always really there to console anybody that wanted it.
Jim Crane with us in studio here on ESPN 97.5. You can tweet us at John Granato, at Lance Zerline. You can give us a call, 713-780-3776. We got to take a break right now. Home is where the heart is. It's time for you to love your home again, whether you're ready to update your siding or you're just wondering about the benefits of updating your siding. Allied Siding and Windows, the specialist to call. Updating your siding with Hardy Plank's design collection will let the home you love stand out. Allied Siding and Windows, not only the largest Hardy Plank home improvement installer in the U.S., but they have the only privately owned James Hardy showrooms in the U.S. as well. Over 1,400 styles and colors, long-lasting, increase the value of your home, low maintenance. And, oh, by the way, Allied has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, over 40,000 customers, and they've been doing it for 29 years with the same phone number. 713-WINDOWS takes just one 30-second call to set up a 30-minute meeting. No high-pressured sales pitch, just a free estimate. Tell them I sent you. Get a $500 Amazon certificate with a whole home siding purchase. You get 100% financing as well with zero down, zero interest for 18 months. 713-946-3697. 713-WINDOWS, Allied Siding and Windows, affordable, local, reliable.
A new restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler,